This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana, Xiaoning and Philip. But first, we start the week with a recap of how global markets closed on Friday.
Right. It was a red day. The United States markets, US markets, Dow was down 0.4%. S&P also negative territory, 0.5%. Nasdaq also down 0.7%. Crossing over to Asia Pacific, Nikkei also was down 1.8%. Hang Seng negative territory, 1.4%. Shanghai, Singapore down 0.4%. And Malaysia also followed that trend, down 1.4%.
So the board was all red last week. Let's see what's going to come up this week. We're joined on the line with Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global out of Canberra. Good morning, Kingsley. So we see U.S. stock indices, they dipped on Friday amid concerns that megatech caps like Amazon and Facebook have already reached peak profits. Is this an opportune time for investors to take some profit off the tech table?
Yeah, certainly in some areas. I think it's a good time to be more selective generally in tech. I mean, obviously, there's still massive future revenue growth potential in areas like cloud computing and digital services, particularly things like streaming with Disney actually doing quite well, Disney Plus. For us, you know, we like the enterprise space. For these reasons, we've concentrated stock exposure in names like Microsoft, Alphabet and Apple. And there could be a bit of a pause for retailers like Amazon because obviously there's a lot of supply chain disruption, but also higher transportation costs generally that could hurt their margins. And in semiconductors, obviously there's the big chip shortage, but we see a pretty robust environment for construction of new chip plants as a result of that. So we like equipment firms like ASML in the Netherlands and Applied Materials in the US. And there's a smattering of these in Japan that look pretty interesting as well.
And Kingsley, the US SEC is asking for more disclosure from Chinese companies intending to IPO on American stock exchange. What kind of repercussions do you think this will have for both US exchanges and China-based entities?
Yeah, well, you don't want to be a Chinese company right now in tech because you're getting hit in China and in the US. And that regulatory uncertainty has made the China tech sector a bit of an avoid for the time being. We actually are pretty positive on the structural growth trends and tech in China generally, notwithstanding the strategic competition between the US and China. But there's a lot of innovation in China. But nonetheless, we're standing aside now because these regulatory changes are a little hard to read as to where they end. There's certainly emerging value in China tech names, but they've got a target painted on them right now. So we think it's just best to wait a little while for the dust to settle.
So am I correct to say that you're avoiding all China stocks at the moment? But at what point do you think there is going to be value to be found? Or how do you actually value this or gauge this risk in terms of the changing policy?
So we're not avoiding all China stocks. We do have positions in some Hong Kong names, particularly AIA Group, the insurer. But within tech, I think it comes down to what you said, the value question. We can be old school about that, just value them on forecast revenue and cash flows and wait for there to be a bit of a margin of safety, as it's called, where those stock prices will get low enough that there may still be some future regulatory risk, but the stocks are cheap enough just to accept that risk and buy them.
So Kingsley, moving away from new economy to old economy, mining companies like Rio Tinto and BHP earnings have outperformed on a commodity-led demand surge this year. But, you know, with Delta variant now shaping up as a threat globally, is it still possible to have a bullish outlook on the resource sector and these companies?
Yeah, well, look, it's the right question to be asking at this time. And we're in the camp of remaining bullish. Obviously, Delta is spreading fast. But the fact of the epidemic or the pandemic, we've been living with it for a long time now. And if you look into the data regarding demand for construction sectors and construction materials, there's good demand for steel worldwide, even though we've seen that COVID strength. And I'd point out, for example, JSW Steel in India, which of course was the first and hardest hit by the Delta outbreak, actually had record results recently in their last report from last week. So with that in mind, I think we can still afford to be bullish, but we obviously have to be watchful of the results. I think the good news is that investors are very cautious and therefore these stocks are pretty cheap on their current earnings. And we expect very good results in August from BHP in particular and also, you know, other names like Mineral Resources. So we think the stocks will actually move higher through this month.
And Kingsley, given a rise risk-on scenario in the Asian region, what kind of assets can investors pivot to for safer yet decent returns in this low interest rate environment?
Well, I think what you mentioned there, the low interest rates are really key. So we've covered the Chinese tech names, and they're, you know, long duration stocks that obviously benefit from low interest rates, but they're being hit by regulation. I think on the flip side, financials in China may do a little better. We are in AIA, as I mentioned, but not the Chinese banks. I think it's worth looking at some of these names. If you look in other areas like the telcos, I think everyone is aware that the major Chinese telecommunication firms have been the subject of the US entity list. But for investors who are able to buy them, they're starting to look pretty cheap and pretty interesting. One cannot really imagine a world where China doesn't have its own telco firms, and so they've gotten pretty cheap. But outside of those areas, which may be a little red flag risk for some investors, we think financials and energy names along with tech equipment look pretty good. And on the tech equipment side, we're having a close look at Japan because they have some very good companies involved in the semiconductor supply chain.
Kingsley, thanks so much as always. That was Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global, weighing in on the kinds of assets that you might want to think of investing in during these tough times. He mentioned financials, energy, tech equipment as some sectors to look at.
Yeah, interesting names. But I think the big takeaway for me from this conversation has been actually the fact that if you want to buy China, you have to go back to the fundamentals. So there was a lot of froth and a lot of focus on growth. But because you cannot effectively or know how to value the policy risk that might or might not come, then you have to go back to the fundamentals. So you've got to look at the price-earning ratios, and then you've got to look at the cash flow. And it has to be cheap enough, or you know, so that it overcomes the potential risk that comes with investing in China. So does this then mean there will be a pullback in Chinese stocks? And yes, we have seen that, and you have seen some very famous fund managers, you know, reducing their stake in China stocks. One, of course, is the ARK investment, which is Cathie Wood's. She's gradually reduced her stake. And if you were a fund manager, you might have second thoughts, right? How much money should I put in this market?
Yeah, it's a question of how much they'll extend the policy risk. Because now we're talking about them putting pressure on, you know, tech stocks, online education. But the worry is whether they extend it further or even go deeper, right?
Yeah, so The Economist this week actually highlighted maybe one sector that will come under scrutiny, which is the possibility of gaming. And gaming in terms of, you know, all these games that people play, because it's the question of big data, and China ultimately likes control. So I think this is something that we'll have to watch, and it's a conversation that we'll have later at 7:30 with Tom Westbrook, journalist at Reuters. We're going to be talking about this policy kind of fight within China and also the wider world, because China wanted to be this global industrialized nation, and it was sending Chinese companies out to be internationalized. But now, is that possible? So I think that's going to be an interesting conversation.
Please stay tuned to that. That's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Very quickly, a headline that just came out overnight. U.S. fintech company Square announced a few hours ago that it had agreed to purchase Australian buy now, pay later giant Afterpay in an all-stock deal worth about $29 billion.
I mean, I think Square is Jack Dorsey's second baby after Twitter. This offer is a 30% premium. It really makes a lot of sense. Both businesses are complementary across the financial value chain. Afterpay does the credit and BNPL payments. Square also recently launched its banking operations, including checking and savings. So I think there's great synergies here. Really interesting space to watch.
Yeah, let's see how Square opens tonight. It was actually down $8, $247. It's down actually 3.14% on a year-to-date basis. So maybe he does need to do some M&A to get some excitement back into this company, because you know, organic growth is probably the fastest way.
Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.